talk to your CFO or your CEO, they probably don't understand the brand language. Even your CMO might not, right? Like, so I think try to talk their language, which is like a data business impact language.
Hey everyone, today we're chatting with Gwen Lafage. Gwen is VP of brand at Cinch, and she takes us behind the scenes of what it takes to be a leader in brand and what the role of brand marketing in B2B is. It's a fascinating ride. So buckle up and let's talk branding. This episode is sponsored by Creative Business Company, but more on that later.
I'm Gwen Lafage. I'm VP of brand at a company called Cinch. We are the customer communications cloud. So we are a cloud communications provider. We're a global company with offices in 60 countries and over 4,000 people. So we're quite a big leader in our space. I joined Cinch about 3 years ago after a career in agencies, and I'm originally from France. So I guess that covers a few of who I am.
Yeah, your name sounds very French, so I figured.
Yeah, exactly.
And the fact that you knew Anna, who's actually my coach at Allen, obviously made me think about that. But yeah, obviously, Cinch, very interesting brand, and I think your job as well, VP of brand, is something that a lot of people are curious at. Like, what does a day in the life of Gwen look like?
That's a good question, and it's hard to condense in it a day, because I guess we all know this as marketers, our days are very different, right? Like, not days is the same, but I will say a lot of meetings, probably too many meetings. But I see brand as being a very important role at the crossroad of like a lot of the other marketing functions. So there's a lot of collaborations with our kind of content team, our digital team, our product marketing team, our field team. So I think like we are really like collaborating a lot with a lot of those other teams within our marketing team. What a day looks like. So I think it goes from like team alignment. I also manage a team of like creatives, content writers, and brand marketers. So I think there's a lot of like management one-on-one team meetings, right? Like the kind of normal flow of a manager or someone in a leadership position. Alignment with some of my peers, right? Other marketing leaders in the team. And then there's like project specific work, where we will work on a specific campaign. So it could be like a virtual event. It could be like an integrated brand campaign. So we'll collaborate with the team in charge of that project. And then they are larger projects like working on brand positioning, working on the consolidation of our brand portfolio. Right now we have a project on product portfolio and like how we make that follow a more specific framework. So I think there's a lot of those type of collaboration. So it could be more on the strategic side as well as like team management and project involving in the project. And I will say that part of the job that I really like as well is the collaboration with the creative teams. I think like that definitely fuels me a lot on like brainstorming on ideas and like coming up with cool concepts or checking, overseeing some of the creative work that the team have done. There's a lot of variety in what.
One of the biggest challenges in my own career has always been to convince business leaders that brand is one of the most important assets in their company. And even though dozens of studies have shown that getting the right strategic positioning can get you a 5x performance on your ads, sometimes convincing executives to prioritize their brand strategy can be challenging. That's why this episode is sponsored by Creative Business Company, a strategic consultancy on a mission to make brand more accountable and more effective. They take the lessons they've learned from over a decade of experience of working with brands such as Morningstar, Shell, and Formula E, and adapt them to smaller, fast-growing companies to help them get more attention, convert leads, and drive sales. So if you're trying to get budget for brand, create messaging that converts, or lower your cost of acquisition, check out creativebusinesscompany.com for ideas, evidence, and tools that will help you make an impact.
I do.
Yeah, and that begs the question, like, how much are you still involved in like creative campaign creation, all of that stuff? Because I can imagine maybe with your background, that's something you're passionate about.
Yeah, I, like you said, yeah, you're right. You're exactly right. I'm quite passionate about creativity, and I think that's why I like this position in a marketing team, right? Like, I like working with designers. I like kind of like being involved in that process. So I am still involved, not as much as I would like, I think, sometimes. But I think because I'm also, I think maybe my team will say it differently, but I see myself as an idea person. I come up with like new creative ideas as well. So I do like to still get involved in that process. I think that give me some energy, and I think it's part of the fun. So yeah, I'm still involved.
Yeah, obviously. And I think that's always like a bit of the trade-off between going into a leadership position where obviously you have to manage versus being only creative. So I totally understand that there is some tension there, but healthy tension, I guess. Maybe like when it comes to brand marketing, like, it's something some people talk about, some people have it in their job title, other people don't. Like, what is it? Like, it's very hard to define probably, but for you, like, how would you define it?
Yeah, I think it's interesting, and like you said, not every company has it, and sometimes it's just that the name is not there, but they still do it, right? Like, I will believe that, I believe that like any company has some kind of brand. Like, I think in a way, the brand is like the essence of the company, right? It's what people say about your company and how you perceived. So whether or not you've helped craft it internally, you do have one, right? Like, whether it's a good one or not, right? It's like, it's a perception, right? It's a perception of how people see you. So every company has a brand. It's just that a lot of companies maybe don't spend the time, the energy, and the investment to influence that brand in the way they want and in a way that will like serve them, which is a shame because it's a really great asset to have, right? So I think the role of brand marketing is to craft that brand so that we influence the way we perceived externally and internally. So it is really about there's I guess a misconception that the brand team own the brand. We really don't, because this really is not so much what we say as much as what people say about us. So I think we can put ideas in people's mind or like share a narrative and influence how the brand is perceived by like the visual and the storytelling, but those are just the way we influence it, and then how people really see it and how they will respond on like what do you think about this company, what do you think they stand for, what is the perception you have that belongs to the publics, right, that belongs to the customers, that belongs to like the prospect, or even to people internally. And sometimes that was sometimes some brand gets damaged by I don't know, a customer service scandal, and no matter how much the brand team will make some efforts in crafting a beautiful story, if it's not followed through in like every part of the company, it's not real, right? Like, so I think the brand marketing team doesn't really own it, but we can influence it by a whole bunch of tactics, by definitely campaigns, but by the positioning, by the narratives, by the visual identity. So I think that's the role of the brand team, is to put those in place so that we try to put a seed in people's mind on what we want them to think.
Interesting. Maybe like what types of skill sets, traits define like a good brand marketeer? And do you see a difference with other types of marketers?
I will say that there's a lot of different type of brand marketers, or I will say different marketers that belong in a brand team. So I think you have definitely brand marketer, and at the same time, you can have content marketers and creatives, right? Like designers, motion designers, like videographers, as well as project managers. So there's a lot of different type of skills that you can have while belonging to a brand team. As far as the brand marketer goes, I think there's different background. I come from agencies, right? So I've always like worked with designers, and I come from being a project manager in agencies, right? Early in my career. I think you can come from a lot of different angles. You can start as like a content marketer and evolve into being more maybe of a brand marketer, or like you come as being like a storyteller, a brand strategist, like a, there's a lot of different aspect, or a creative director. There's a lot of designers that in a way become like a chief creative director, or like can lead a brand team after being a designer for earlier in their career. So there's different ways to get to it. I will say some of the thing or the skill set or the difference is like a desire, or like at least like a some kind of passion for storytelling, I will say, and is probably quite important. And then a sensibility in design, although I will argue maybe some of the people in the team might not have that sensibility, but I believe that's quite important. At least an understanding the power of like creativity and stories to shape a brand, I think are important. I don't know if they're really skills, but like, yeah, aspects of the job. And then you would want like kind of normal marketing skills of like project management, understanding the channels, understanding like the how people buy, understanding the audience. Yeah, so I think like some kind of like the a link to the metrics, how you like, how you measure, like, so kind of a generalist kind of marketing approach in a way, where you touch on a lot of different aspects of marketing, but through the angle of like creating more of a story and building an attachment to the brand and to the company. So maybe a bit less on the aspect of short-term lead generation, which is like maybe the thing that like some people are really great at, on like delivering fast, quick performance, where like in a brand team, we think maybe more longer term and how we influence the buying cycle and how we influence people. So I think like this aspect of understanding the people and the nature of how they buy, I think is quite essential.
Yeah, I mean, as a VP of brand, I can imagine you're, of course, talking a lot with other leadership and trying to convey the value of brand for an organization. Like, maybe just walk us through, like, maybe some misunderstandings you've seen, not per se at Sinch, but in general, when it comes to why you should invest in brand. That could be very interesting, I think.
Yeah, I think there's like, there's this aspect that everything is brand, and that any activity that you do in marketing contribute to building your brand. As much as I agree that like you need the consistency, and you need like everything you do participate to building your brand. If you do your kind of normal performance type of marketing without adding that layer of brand building on top, you will never see a big impact. I think like there's a pros and cons to kind of that perception of like, oh, everything we do is brand anyway, right? And it's like, sure, that is true. And that's why you need that consistency, right? You really need to have that story and that consistency in everything you do. But at the same time, you will not build a strong brand that if you only do that. So I think that's for me one of the misconceptions on like, it's okay, we have performance ads, right? Like, and I think that they will not contribute as much to building a brand. So it's like, if you don't have brand within those ads, they will definitely not do anything from you on the long term. But at the same time, if you only do that, you're not going to build that brand in the long term. So I think that's a bit of the misconception. And I think it's definitely interesting to have those discussion with like other marketing leaders on like, what is brand? Not everybody understand the value of consistency, the value of like telling bigger stories, of like having content that maybe doesn't deliver immediate leads, or it's not so much about the direct conversion, but it's about building that relationship, building that attachment to the brand, creating fans, creating an audience, like all of those aspects that I will categorize as brand building because they're not as immediate. So I think understanding that that you need to have in mind both the short term and the long term is usually something that I discuss a lot with some of my colleagues. And obviously it's a lot of discussion and balance on where you put the money, right? Like at the end of the day, it comes down to, we don't have a lot of budget. Where do you put it? And I think you need to have nailed down your performance and like your short-term aspects of marketing in order to be able to work on the bigger project. And I think that's also maybe a mistake that people make. It's like, oh, I want to come in and build this great, wonderful campaign. Sure. But if you don't get the company and the leadership believing in marketing in the first place and they don't see immediate value from it, they will never allow you to do the rest, the what I will call the cool stuff, because that's what I think is cool. But like, you need for sure to kind of like have the right foundation in place and do that well so that people in the company trust marketing first, right? So that's a bit of the challenge sometimes.
Yeah. And I really recognize that, like, even when I entered in a company, like I oftentimes talk about these things like 60-40 rule from Binet and Field and like these big marketing principles. But like, it's not that you can just go ahead and do that straight away. There's a big evolution that needs to happen. And I think a lot of marketers are actually in that position, is what you're talking about, is like, you need to build that conviction first and maybe start small and start from performance and start building on top of that rather than forcing that idea, because it won't work even if the theory says it works, I think.
Yeah. Exactly. And I think it's also like in the foundation of brand, right? Brand builds some of the foundation, and in a company that doesn't have brand, they still build those foundation, right? It's like your identity, right? What is kind of your brand identity? What is your positioning? And it goes in and out with like, who's building that in a company? Sometimes it's also product marketing, especially if you're like a small SaaS company with one product, then maybe the product marketing will build those foundation of the positioning. As the company grows and have like a suite of product, you probably need to differentiate between like your brand story that like is the umbrella to the entire product suite, and what is like the value prop of each product, which might be different, but also the value prop of each product need to link back to like that big umbrella story. So then it becomes to be a bit more differentiated and a bit more complicated. But ultimately, that if you have only one product and one look and feel, one identity, that's at the core of your brand, right? And in SaaS, it's often very linked with the product, which I think like the product marketing and brand is like a really important link and collaboration that is really needed, especially when it comes to crafting that positioning, because it's like how you go beyond some of the product features and tell a bigger story on like how you solve the problem, like how you like can capture the emotion of the audience at a different kind of level than the product, right? I believe on the brand, if I had to differentiate, I will say that brand is more on the emotional feeling aspects, maybe a bit less rational, where like product still and product marketing still stays on the pretty rational aspect of what is the value prop. And maybe on the brand side, you need to inject that emotional aspect. Because people buy that way, right? Like people buy that way as well. So yes.
I created this podcast to help myself and others understand the power of brand building without all of the BS. So here's three no BS guides from my friends at Creative Business Company that you can download for free to drive impact. The Brand Investment Blueprint outlines the exact process they use to convince skeptical executives to invest in brand building projects and campaigns. How challengers can position for growth explains how brands can find and leverage their hidden advantage to create brand marketing that sells. And last, my favorite, How to Build a Big Brand on a Small Budget explores how to outsmart and overtake market leaders with more cost-effective marketing. Go to creativebusinesscompany.com/staff to download your free guides today. That's creativebusinesscompany.com/STEF to download your free guides today. Back to the podcast.
No, it's very interesting. I was just scrolling on Substack, and I saw this interesting visual where it was like, I think it was Zoom and a couple of other tech companies, and showed like screenshots from 3 years ago up until now, how their messaging evolved. And what was interesting was like, it started with all three companies very product driven, like we're the remote meeting company that does X, Y, and Z, to something where it was like connect anywhere or something very, you know, very brand aspirational. And the point of the author was like, at some point you're overshooting in terms of benefits and like maybe making it that emotional that it becomes like just vague. And I'm wondering, I'm wondering your take on like where the maybe do we overshoot sometimes and how to keep that balance?
And I think I probably know who you referencing, because I think there's a lot of discussion on LinkedIn around this, and like especially about what message you put at the top of your homepage. And yeah, I think it's like it's also an interesting aspect, and I agree. I think it depends where you are in the maturity of your company, and it depends how much people know your company and know what you do. So I don't think there's like, I don't think we should say, I don't really like the approach of like looking from an exterior perspective on here's the homepage of a whole bunch of company and they suck, right? Like they're really bad. It's like you, when you're doing that, once you're not the buyer. So like you can say that from your perspective. And obviously you can say that because maybe you're selling positioning for like startup companies, right? Like, so that it serves yourself to kind of say that. It's like, hey, I understand that, but I think like you're not the buyer. You maybe like coming at it from that very narrow perspective with that understanding as well, like where the team was and what the company challenges are. And maybe it's a company that needs to like build more of that emotional connection with their buyers. And maybe people know what they do, so they don't need to kind of go to the website and say, Zoom, we do like video calls, right? Like, I mean, it's they may be beyond that stage, but I feel like there is a complexity in company that serve that sell like a big portfolio. It's a lot harder to have a one value prop that links to your one product.
Yep.
Do you lead with one product, or do you lead with something that is more generic because it's more umbrella, or do you lead with like an emotional thing? So I think there's different approach. I wouldn't say that like we can categorically say like one is better than another. I think as everything, it depends. Is the place of a brand message on the homepage or at the top level of your homepage? Maybe not, or maybe not always, or maybe for a short time, yes, when we just launch your big brand campaign, you might want to have that at the top header, but then maybe it will change, right? Like you don't have to have it there all the time. Maybe it's because you're launching this big campaign and you have billboards and all the things that will resonate and ads that like resonate, but it doesn't have to be, right? Like I think there's a place maybe for those big brand messages. Maybe they belong more in ads and a landing page for the campaign. rather than being that top level, right? Like it varies. I think there's different levels of like brand messaging as well, right? Like your positioning and what your product does, what value you deliver versus that big campaign you just launched, which is like, I don't know, we can take the example of Salesforce, for example, because they have that big portfolio. Big campaign right now around AI, and like we are all Einstein, and like they infusing like that AI into a lot of their product, and they have like ads and cool videos, and like, and that's kind of a brand campaign. You go to the Salesforce website, it will be there, but it will probably not be that top level, right? So I think it's where you place it, which I think there's a big misconception sometimes on where things should go.
Yeah, totally. And I think it's an important nuance you bring to the table. Maybe because you said the magical two letters, we can talk about it a little bit, AI. we have to almost, but yeah. I saw you made I think you had a guest article on or something about AI and specifically generative AI, I think, how it can help brand and content marketers, and I'm very curious about your perspective.
So I had like an interview with a company called Frontify. They're like a brand management platform, so brand asset management.
And we're
a client of them, so like they interview me on AI and how with the future of AI will change creativity and the impact on creative team and the impact on like content and brand in general. I'm not an AI expert at all, but I will call myself an AI enthusiast. Like I like learning the possibility. I think like with everything, I'm a pretty curious person. And I think that's I always like to look into and read and check what's happening and try to like be an early adopter of stuff before they sometimes disappear, right? Like, but so I've kind of played around and I realized that I use AI maybe more and more for various things and I like experimenting with it. Maybe not enough that I would like to, but if I had the time, I'll probably do more. But I think that yes, it will impact every single marketing team and the one that don't really explore, experiment and use it in will be left behind because it will help us accelerate and work faster. And I think there's definitely a benefit there on efficiency and productivity. When it comes to creativity, I call it a sidekick or like a superpower that like creative team can leverage to do things. I don't believe at all that it will replace creative. I think like creativity is definitely a human trait and the AI can help you brainstorm, push you in a way. Like I think it can also help you execute on an idea. I think it just helped. Like I've always liked writing creative briefs and add at the end of the creative brief what I will call my bad way in. And when I was working agency, usually creative will ignore because it's like, hey, that comes from account. What do they know, right? Like, but when you're in-house and you're like the brand person, then you listen a bit more, I guess. And they said, oh, we'll look into the ideas that you have. And I think now what is cool is that I can put my ideas in like a ChatGPT or like, and actually put an image to it. It's like, hey, here's the idea I have for this creative brief. Here's some inspiration. And of course, it's like, please, creative team, you're the creative. Don't follow. But if you feel the idea is worth exploring, please explore. Right. Like, so I think anyone can have a good idea. I think we are all creatives in different ways. And I believe that, like, that can help people that are creative unleash and unlock some of that creativity. So I think there's a lot of power to it. But the creativity itself lives within people, right? Mm. So it needs the people to get there.
Yeah. But No, I mean, that's really interesting and maybe linked to that, because I think I've seen this at some companies that I'm advising for, is like, with this rise of AI and this hopefully increase in efficiency and this sidekick, there is also something happening along the lines of, let's say, in-house versus out-house production, where you see a lot of companies saying, well, let's try and do as much as we can ourselves. Also, you know, inflation, things cost a lot of money, so make it more profitable. And I'm wondering, like, what your feeling is on like brand teams working with agencies versus scaling internally, creativity and so on. Yeah, just curious about your perspective there.
Yeah, I come from agencies, right? So
the dark side.
Maybe like, yeah, I don't know which one is the dark side, like agency or in-house. I believe in agencies, and I don't think like AI. I think there was a statement that like AI is gonna like kill 95% of all creative agencies, and like I don't believe that to be true, to be honest. I think like agency will also evolve and find ways to like leverage AI themselves to kind of offer something else, right? Like to. I think the benefit to me of agencies is to bring in an external perspective at the moment of time. I mean, there's two things that I see in how I work with agency, or we work with agency internally. There's two ways. One is like that external perspective, that out of the box ideas, those like creative approach that you can have when you don't work on the products and the company day in, day out, you can come in with a fresh eyes, right? Like, so mm-hmm. I think those fresh eyes, and like, you don't need your agency to know everything about you and your company and your product. Like, I think agency tend to come in, wanted to like do 2 months of research on like who you are and stuff. I'm like, I don't want you to do that. Like, I know my product. I know my company. I want you to come in without maybe knowing everything, which is why we need those external perspective, right? Like, you don't need 2 months to ramp up on like, oh, we don't know everything. It's fine. You don't need to. We want those kind of like perspective that maybe are not so deep into the product and the company that you can actually come up with something new that we haven't thought about. So I think that to me is like a big interest of like having a creative agency. And the second part is scaling. I think scaling up and down, right? Like scaling up and down more flexibly. Because if you hire people in house, right? Like you know everything ebb and flow, and especially in tech, right? We have moments when we need to produce a lot and budgets are higher, and then this moment when it's not, right? And so I think if you are not mindful of that, you see a lot of company hiring and firing people, which I don't think is a good thing. I think you need to think about long term on like, do I need these people long term? I'd rather like keep the people I hire and not have to let them go. So I'll rather have an agency, and they're a lot easier to let go. Hey, that's the nature of it, right? Like, so I think that kind of flexible approach and the scalability of it. And when you have volume going up and a certain months you have too much to do, then you can bring them up. They help scale. So yep. I think that will still be true, AI or not, right? Like, So I definitely see a value in agencies, yep. in some different expertise. And like, will it replace certain agencies? Yes, will some stuff be automated? For sure. But there will still be some needs. And I think like, yep. there's also an aspect of like understanding your audiences, right? Like understanding who you're talking to, when like understanding people and how they buy. And you need to talk to people, right? Like you need to like understand how they work, how they think. And that is also sometimes that an agency can help you with, because people might not tell you, if you're the company, stuff that they might tell to an external partner. So I see a value there too. So a lot of values to agency. I still like agencies in many ways.
Well, I think the people on the agency side will be happy to hear that.
Yeah, exactly. But I also see the huge value of having like a team in house, right? Like I don't want to externalize everything. There is a need for a brand team to like fully understand the audience, fully understand their products, understand the dynamic of the company, understand like how we work internally, which that level of understanding will never be matched by someone in the agency. And like when we talk about brand, there's also the sort of leadership aspect, the leveraging like the subject matter experts internally and working with them directly, producing content that is deep and that is like only possible with the expert within the company, that I think it will be really hard to match by like an agency because they don't have that deep knowledge. So it's both, right? Like, of course, I would like to scale my brand team even more, as well as work with like big agency, or not big, but like agencies in general. But yeah, when you have to make choice, I think like you need to be smart about what you bring in house versus what you keep external.
Mm-hmm. All right, maybe one more question to wrap it up. A lot of people like that I talk to working in this space of brand and content, like a lot of people struggling to find ways to like punch through and grow to the next level and maybe become a VP or like a leadership position. Like what would be your advice for people like maybe feeling a bit stuck in the day-to-day production levels or whatever and like coming up to that next level?
I will say think strategically and think that people probably don't talk your brand language. So if you, it could be your CMO or definitely higher up, or you talk to your CFO or your CEO, they probably don't understand the brand language. Even your CMO might not, right? Like, so I think try to talk their language, which is like a data business impact language, which is, I think, something that we forget as like, and I say we because I've done that as well, right? And I came from agencies when we don't really, we think about, look at this cool creative campaign and look at this like super cool stuff I've done. And people will be like, yeah, but did you move the needle? What kind of impact did it have on the company, right? Like on the bottom line, what kind of like pipeline did you create? I'm like, great that you had, you know, 1,000 likes on your post, but who cares? Like, did it bring business, right? Did you change something for the company itself, its clients? Like, I think that's sometimes what the tendency, I think, of like brand marketer to judge our work through like the cool factor of it, which I mean, me first, right? I love like the creativity and the cool aspect of what I do. And like, but we have to like took people's luggage on like how much business did it drive? Did it help drive demand? Did it help drive like customer loyalty? Did it actually deliver business results? And I think that's something that we need to do more of. And I will encourage any kind of brand marketers to like think that way, on like go to some of the metrics and collaborate with your digital team, your like performance team, so that they can also be the advocate for what you share with them. I think there's like a strong coordination or like collaboration with performance and brand. It's like maybe the brand team will come up with like some really cool video that actually your performance marketer will be super happy to use because they are so tired of those boring ads and yours are going to perform much better. And you maybe have thought about them as a brand marketing, but they might perform better on the performance side. So I think bring things back to like business impact will be my biggest advice.
I think that's a golden nugget right there. So thank you so much, Gwen, for coming on the show.
Well, thanks for having me. Pleasure to talk to you.
All right. That was it for this episode. As always, if you want to stay up to date on the latest episodes, check out the show notes and find out more interesting stuff about brand strategy and brand building, visit letstalkbranding.substack.com. That's letstalkbranding.substack.com.